This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the Texans, they are the anti-heroes of the NFL right now, at least for this week they are. The Azeez Al-Shaair suspension upheld, three games, so he's going to miss the Miami game, the Kansas City game, and the Baltimore game on Christmas Day. The back and forth between the two head coaches.
Yeah.
Is this something you wanted to get out there right now?
Patrick Storm just retweeted a screenshot of Eric Armstead, current Jacksonville Jaguar.
I saw this.
Liked Azeez Al-Shaair's tweet where Azeez had said, "If you want me to be your villain, I'll be your villain. See you soon."
Yeah.
Eric Armstead liked it. So,
teammate of Trevor Lawrence, we should point out.
Dude,
yeah.
I didn't sense a whole lot of anger from Jaguars players. You know, Hines Allen basically said it was a dumb hit, but I don't know if he should be suspended. I don't know, man. I just have this sneaking suspicion that Trevor Lawrence is kind of how he looks.
He's kind of a
soft, fancy lad.
I feel like there's more anger in Jacksonville at D'Amico Ryans and maybe Nick Caserio and the way they've handled the whole thing, which I have no issue with the way they've handled it. I'm a Texan fan, so I love the way they're handling it. That's the only point of view I care about. But outside of Houston, they're getting a lot of heat. For example, here's D'Amico Ryans in his Monday press conference. He acknowledged prior to this that, we don't teach it that way with Azeez, but Trevor Lawrence probably needs to slide a little differently. And, oh, by the way, the Jags need to watch their sideline conduct.
The entire thing is, Azeez hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline, so that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well with both teams.
Okay, so that's D'Amico there. So, Seth, Doug Peterson was asked in his press conference yesterday. Jags play this weekend. They're not on a bye. They play the Titans this weekend. So Doug Peterson had his Wednesday availability yesterday, and he was asked, are you surprised that that's the tack D'Amico Ryans took earlier this week?
Are you surprised D'Amico said you guys overreacted on the sideline?
I was a little surprised. And look, I've got a ton of respect for D'Amico. He's a former player. I'm a former player. Emotions run high. I would say that if it happened, to their quarterback, I think the reaction would have been the same, quite frankly. I mean, so, but again, it's this was 3 days ago. And we're on to, we're on to Tennessee, obviously, and focus on that. But I do think that the reaction is a natural thing for any player, any team to feel.
I think that D'Amico's done this twice. Because after the Chicago game, too, when Azeez punched that dude in the face or in the head.
Roshon Johnson he hit,
Roshon Johnson, that's right. D'Amico criticized the Bears sideline staff.
He did.
The guys who weren't in uniform and the way they were reacting. D'Amico's got two guys in Denzel Perryman and Azeez Al-Shaair who did not have lengthy unsportsmanlike or unnecessary roughness, the penalty histories before they got here. Now, Aziz had a few last year in Tennessee.
He had two that he got fined for, yes.
In San Francisco, but Denzel Perryman, his record was largely clean before he got to the Texans, and then he ends up getting suspended
in games.
Hey, man,
you ain't swarming. Yeah. You ain't on this team, buddy, and middle linebacker is the swarmiest of the swarmy positions.
And when D'Amico first got here, he said, hey, when we play a team, we want to be sure that those guys feel it the next morning when they wake up, that they're like, oh, man, I played the Texans yesterday. D'Amico, in my anti-hero role for him,
yeah.
And this guy wasn't even an anti-hero, but Gus from Breaking Bad. I feel like he's kind of the soft-spoken guy who owns a chicken restaurant, who you would never guess drives a Volvo or something,
yeah.
Whatever he drove, a station wagon.
Right.
D'Amico is the station wagon driving, just straight down the middle, you know, buttoned up businessman who's actually got a very, very violent streak to him and will have others do his bidding.
Who owns a chicken franchise, grilled chicken franchise, yet underneath a laundromat across town has a gigantic meth operation.
Is it Pollos Hermanos?
Pollos Hermanos, yeah, man.
Yeah.
I got a Pollos Hermanos t-shirt in my closet.
I'm going to wear a Pollos Hermanos t-shirt to the next pregame show.
I think we should. In solidarity, we should wear Pollos Hermanos gear. Yes, I like
But I got to bring a jacket, too, because the Texans are sure to follow our recommendation that they cool the Tua Tagovailoa is awful in cold weather. They just crank up the refrigeration that joint.
Yep. If you missed it earlier, we have two requests for the Texans. We don't ask for a lot, you and I, Seth. I think we're pretty good soldiers when it comes to asking for things from our hometown team. So we're cashing in our coupons for this game, our two wishes. Aziz Alshire up in the rafters, painted up like the Crow with a trench coat and a baseball bat. You know, kind of the tortured soul that the league has made him because of this persecution of Aziz Alshire. Number two, complete refrigeration of NRG. Not air conditioning, because AC can only go down to 55, as we've been told by many HVAC experts that text us on the five-hour energy fan line.
All these people with training and education are telling us it's not possible.
Or YouTube, yeah.
You know what? Back in the day, they said you could never tame the mighty Mississippi River.
Yeah.
Huh?
How about that?
You'll never be able to keep that thing, you know? And they did it. They did it.
Yeah. Now what do you got to say about it? Yeah. By the way, 5-Hour Energy Fan Line, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. So those are our two requests for the game.
Well, or the other big one would be if nature helps us out.
Yeah.
And if somehow a cold front moves through, you open the roof, but it's you get one of those rare snowfalls in December in Houston. Something like that would be nice.
Delightful. I would love that. Hey, is there going to be... is there going to be more juice to the Jaguar games next year? Like, is this something that carries over into next year?
Yeah, good.
Because that game, that I'll put air quotes around it, rivalry, you know, division, you know, it's a division opponent, so there's a rivalry there to a degree. Clearly third behind the other two, right? Like, the Colts are hated because of the long history early on of beatdowns from the Colts, and then the fact that those, more often than not, the Texans and the Colts have been the two teams when they've been battling. They've been the ones at the top of the division. And then the obvious rivalry with Tennessee because of the Oilers angle to it. The Hannah McNair versus Amy Adams Strunk angle to it. The Tennessee angle, and Tennessee being the janky ass inbred state that it is. But the Jags rivalry needed something like this.
This is the way in the NFL, like when it comes to interdivision rivalries or interdivision rivalries.
Yeah.
A lot of it boils down to, look, you've got a lot of players on the team that are, you know, they're temporary residents of the city they're in. They're going to be there for a few years. So a lot of it also boils down to the specific grudge matches of players from, because you face that team twice a year, there's more opportunities for grudges to build up on the personal side of things. And yeah, I think there will be a lot of grudges. I'm not convinced that the Jaguars players actually like Trevor Lawrence, so I don't know how much that factors into it. I think there's probably a lot of Jaguars players that are like, I wish Trevor Lawrence was a bit more like Aziz Alshire than Trevor Lawrence.
That's a really good point, yeah.
I wish we had a guy that played through injuries and stuff.
Yep, we do. CJ did.
CJ Stroud had a separated shoulder and is not throwing arm the entire season last year.
It might have been his throwing.
I think it was his throwing arm.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Honestly, these things that Trevor Lawrence can't play through or misses games for or plays poorly because of.
Or plays poorly because of it. And the reason And we know about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it gets brought up as a reason or an excuse.
It's just not the way good NFL quarterbacks operate. Yeah. Most good NFL quarterbacks are injured all the time, and they play through it, and you never hear about it. With Trevor Lawrence, it's three times a year you'll hear from Jags fans, well, yeah, but he had a slight ankle sprain. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Do I not remember Tom Brady playing his way through the playoffs with massive ankle braces on? It's too much.
Yeah.
And this is a separated shoulder in your non-throwing arm, and that's why you can't throw the ball for crap. Because of a separated shoulder in your non-throwing arm, that's pain tolerance and nothing more.
Yep.
That's it. It's a lack of pain tolerance.
Yep. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. Sean, do you think the whole team wears Aziz shirts for the Miami game? Now, when Diggs was out, when Diggs tore his ACL against the Colts, there were some Diggs t-shirts worn by, I don't know if everybody wore one, but there were, I know CJ did. There were guys wearing Diggs t-shirts. I'm going to say it is a lock that at least some portion of the team, maybe the defense, you know, maybe the linebackers room, there will be some sort of sartorial solidarity with Aziz Alshire, where they're wearing some sort of gear that has Aziz's name or jersey number on it or whatever.
Yeah, there'll be
a message.
Houston Stressens has a free Aziz t-shirt.
Okay.
That he's selling. What's his actual Twitter handle?
It's at Texans Commenter.
At Texans Commenter has a free Aziz. I think I'll put that picture up behind me. That'll be my next
free
one.
Free Aziz? Okay, yeah. Are you going to take down any of the pictures behind you at any point?
I'm going to draw something on Trevor Lawrence's face, so okay. I'll leave that up.
Yeah, for those who are listening on the radio, if you're not watching on YouTube, on Seth's wall behind him, he's turned it into a mural that's kind of almost a storytelling mural about the Texans and their upcoming opponent.
I'm going to just update it with like the current topics that we're talking about and everything.
Yeah.
But the color ink is kind of expensive.
It's pricey, so dude. Yeah.
I got to be careful with that.
No, I had to print something yesterday and it needed color ink. And I'm like, ooh, we're running low on these cartridges. But it is the holiday season. finances are tight. I'm not ready to invest in another printer cartridge.
Color ink and blueberries are the two things that continually astound me.
I love that.
Every time I buy them,
I love your fixation on how expensive blueberries are. That
berries
just,
in
that
general.
Tickles me.
They're just so,
But they're really good for you.
There's big stuff going on in the berry industry, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
The Driscoll. I read a couple long articles on Driscoll's product research and their breeding labs and everything.
Can you give us the, like SI.com does this now, where if you don't feel like reading the whole article, they give you like three bullet points at the top so you get the gist of it?
Basically, they just have a huge R&D department where they're constantly testing new varieties of berries and crossbreeding them and everything and coming up with bigger
cloning berries. Mm.
They want to do for berries what the apple industry did for apples, where, hey, apple used to be a healthy treat. Now it is a 7-pound gargantuan pumpkin-sized thing that you probably shouldn't eat more than one of a day. Yeah, like it's turned into, I want raspberries as big as my fist. That's what I want.
Okay. I'm interested in that, but not read a whole article interested. So I'm glad you laid that out for me.
There's some grocery chains, because I do them all. Yeah. You know, I'll go to Aldi, I'll go to Whole Foods. I don't give a damn. But Whole Foods, you walk in, you're like, I just want a normal-sized apple, please.
Right,
these
I
things
know.
Are so big.
Genetic mutation
please,
apples.
Just give me a normal-sized apple.
Thanks for the car battery-sized apple, Whole Foods. I appreciate that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. So the bye week is here. I'm curious. Text in 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. How are you spending the bye week? How are you spending? Did you just get away from football? Are you watching football? Are you gambling your face off? Are you going out of town? Amy and I are going to Pittsburgh to see the Steelers and the Browns. Neither team. I don't have a dog in the fight with either of those teams. If it were any of the last 2 years, I would be there in my Steeler gear rooting for a higher first round pick for the Houston Texans. But now they got Jameis Winston, and the Texans don't have any interest in their first-round pick. So I'm like, and by the way, the Texans are in that mishmash of teams that the Steelers are part of. You know what I mean? Like, they're in that mix there. So I'll probably be silently, I'll be rooting for the Browns silently, but while wearing Steeler gear and waving a terrible towel.
Oh, you should just get the experience. Wear Browns gear.
Oh, like the road?
Just see what it's like. Yeah.
That
sounds... And be a good, calm, like... Just be the person that gets victimized somehow.
There's a certain.
I want to see if I don't have. If there's not a viral video of you getting bludgeoned by three drunken Steelers fans, I feel like you haven't really done your duty.
You'll be disappointed in me
as a co-host on Pain and Pendergast.
You'll be disappointed in me if I don't get my ass kicked at the game.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
You should go. You know what you should do? You should go, but also wear a boxing headgear. So just be nice and calm, but also wear big, like the biggest boxing headgear, like youth boxing headgear that you can find.
Okay, with like a Nick Chubb jersey on or something like that, right? With
a
Jameis Winston jersey. So Cleveland Browns gear with gigantic boxing headgear.
Yes.
And a foam finger. Foam number one Brown finger.
Yeah.
Here's D'Amico Ryan saying this team needs a bye week.
The much needed rest is here, and we're going to take advantage of it. We've been going at it for a long time, going back. We were one of the first teams to start training camp with the Hall of Fame game. So it's been a long time of going at it. And our guys, I feel like they've handled it really well. No excuses, no complaining about our schedule and where our bye week falls. But right now it's coming at a great time for us. And we're excited to get the rest, relaxation, and take advantage of it.
All right. So the Texans are off this weekend. They're going to get to relax a little bit. Here's C.J. Stroud. It's interesting on the timing of the bye. It's a late bye week, man. December the 8th for a bye week is very late. Here's CJ on the timing of the bye week.
It's very necessary. You know, I thought, you know, the way we've handled these last couple weeks has been long, you know, to go. This has been a grind, you know, kind of getting to week 14 to get a bye. You know, we're not fiending for a bye, but we're also very grateful that it comes now, you know, and then we got 3 games in 10 days or something crazy like that. So, this is like perfect timing. You know, it's been tough. It's been a long year from, you know, we the first team to practice, got 4 preseason games, and then we go on and get the latest bye and then go from there and get 3 games in 10 days. But ultimately, man, the league is trying to challenge us to see what type of team we are. You know, I think that this is perfect for us. We can recoup, you know, our spirit, body, mind, and come back, you know, and go on a stretch, man. And that this is where our best ball needs to be played in, you know, late December, early January, and then go on to the playoffs.
I don't know if, you know, the league deliberately thought, hey, let's test the Texans, but I'm cool with it if that's the conspiracy theory floating around the locker room. That is like, all right, yeah, whatever. We'll take it. We'll take this challenge. That's a cool chip to have on your shoulder. I like that.
Well, and that's where the Aziz thing this week, like if that's how they're operating, like the world's Houston versus everybody, right? We've heard that the last few years with the Astros.
Find a chip and put it on your shoulder.
That's how, if it makes you a better football team, I don't care what they do as long as it's within the laws of society to become a better football team.
Screw society. What's it done for me?
That's a good point.
Well, actually, it's been pretty good for me. But in general, what's it done for you, dear listener? Yeah.
Yeah, good question.
Society's been holding you back.
That's right. That's right.
I stand here as somebody that's benefited from this society.
Greatly from society.
Quite greatly, yes.
Right. But you have not.
And but you guys haven't. And I'm going to...
You know how normally when you know how normally on the radio where you say like this general, hey, you, blah, 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 and you go, I'm not talking about you... You know, but the general listener, if you know already if I'm not talking about you, this is the total opposite. Like, no, we're talking about all of you.
You kind of like every now and then, like society. Sometimes people try to pull me into like, hey, you know, white defensive linemen don't get credit or they're discriminated against. I'm like, eh, okay, whatever. On the sum total of things, I still feel pretty good about
it. It worked out okay for me. I had a 10-year career in the NFL.
I'm not sitting here cursing my whiteness. I gotta listen. On the sum total of things, I really have no complaints.
Had a few good paydays back in the day. Got a good pension. Yeah,
it's changed. You know, guys like J.J. Watt, Chris Long, others. There was a steady like 10 to 20 year period where there were very, very few white defensive linemen.
Yeah,
I feel like things have kind of balanced out a little bit as black quarterbacks started to get, you know, just as people stopped being so weird about black quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like it went likewise for other positions, and I think the final shoe to fall might be the white defensive back. That might actually be.
There's like a bunch of
with
them now.
Cooper DeGene and
there's a handful of them.
It's racial harmony. We're maybe finally.
That's
coming
how
to.
I choose to look at it. Hell yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. Here's D'Amico Ryans. He was asked about the schedule, and he said, not worried about the schedule with Miami and Kansas City.
I look at it as, you know, we have the same amount of time really for Miami and for Kansas City. We'll get a short week with the Christmas game versus Baltimore. So that's one where you try to look ahead on the shorter shorter schedule there. But for the other two games, it'll be same amount of time as we've typically had to prepare for them. So it's really the only crunch there. So it's, we'll hit the ground running, but we'll have time to prepare and have our guys ready to go.
I like that D'Amico's very even-keeled about it. We should point out, it actually is a short week in between Miami and KC. It's a day shorter, so it's not a Thursday game where they play KC. But they are going Sunday to Saturday, and then Saturday to Wednesday. Like, that is two short weeks in a row in December.
Yeah. It's you know what? I'll tell you another thing, though, about it, Sean. It's interesting. When you have stretches like that, especially towards the end of the season, as a player, there's challenges, obviously, and you're probably going to have to play through injury. I mean, injury is the big thing. Mm-hmm. The fatigue and everything, when it's when you can define the short burst that you have to go through, it's kind of like gearing up for that last wind sprint.
Yeah.
You know, when you're training and you're exhausted, but you know you only got one more wind sprint to do.
Yep.
You can handle that.
Yeah.
It's when all of a sudden the coach says, we're doing two more.
Yeah, here's
after
more.
You go all
yes.
out.
Yeah.
So this you can look at and say, all right, it's a three-game period, and you don't practice hard in between any of those games. Yeah. So in a way, there's kind of like, there's times when you're going through it, and at least for me personally, I was always kind of like, gosh, I really wish I could get like a normal Wednesday. I liked going out and doing a 9-on-7 drill and getting some thumping in.
Yeah.
I felt like it was necessary to get ready.
Yep.
But you don't get any of that. So they're basically glorified walkthroughs.
Yeah.
So in a way, you almost get a break. You don't get that pit in your stomach feeling of like, oh crap, I got to get ready for 9-on-7. It's not as bad for the personal experience of going through it, but looking at it through the team, yeah, you're going to have guys that are playing through ankle sprains or whatever on a different timetable, and that's what I worry about more, is just the cumulative effect of playing through injuries. And that's when the extra wind sprint that gets tacked on, mm-hmm, at the end, mm-hmm, that's the Titans game.
Yeah.
Like, you made it through that three-game period, but, like, all of a sudden, all right, you got all these walking wounded around, and you got to really gear up for that final game.
At least you got 11 days in between Christmas and the Titans game. You know, so you got a little extra rest, but your point is well taken. This will be the second time this stretch after the bye week that the Texans will be, because they played a Thursday night game on Halloween against the Jets, you know, so they've already done the It would be three games in 12 days then. They played Green Bay in Green Bay, home for the Colts, and then they played the Jets on Halloween night. That's three games in 12 days, and that's not at the beginning of the season either. I mean, that's week 7. You're already more than a third of the way into the season, and now this stretch coming up here. This is my wish as a gambler, Seth. I wish I could get down somewhere right now on the Texans win total for 2025, and I would take the over, whatever the number is, I would take the over on it right now, because we know a lot of the number for the next season baked into it is how you did the previous season. And mm-hmm, there will be things the Texans do to improve the team. I don't think they're going to come into 2025 a less talented team than they were in 2024, because a lot of these guys, they've got signed up on 2- and 3-year deals, still on rookie contracts, don't have to pay CJ yet, all those. So I think it's going to be a more talented team. But there are 5 things that were part of this schedule this year that I feel unequivocally will not be part of this coming year's schedule. They won't be starting training camp super early. That's a small one. You know, that's a week of practice. Nobody's playing in the Hall of Fame game. But still, the monotony of we're starting in the middle of July as opposed to starting at the end of July, I think there's a probably a little incremental thing. They're not going to be in the Hall of Fame game next year is my point, unless there's somebody going into the Hall of Fame from the Texans I'm unaware of. So that's number one. They're not going to get.
I just like that notion. Like, we don't even have anybody that's old enough to go in as a senior member yet, do we?
I don't think that's so. I don't think so. Number two, and so that's a little one. These other ones I think are significant because they're actually part of the regular season schedule. They're not going to catch an historically good division like they did this year with the NFC North. Look at the NFC North. The three teams the Texans have lost to in that division. Two of them on last second field goals, by the way, are among the top 8 teams in DVOA right now. Green Bay, Detroit, and Minnesota, by most measurements, are 3 of the top 8 to 10 teams in the league. And I would submit, I know the Texans caught Chicago when, you know, in game 2 for Caleb Williams. So you did catch a rookie quarterback early in the season and you sacked him a bunch of times. But that was back before Matt Eberflus had sucked the wind out of the room for the Bears. I will say they probably got a more inspired version of the Bears in week 2.
Yeah.
You know, but the big thing is they're going to play the NFC West next year. That's a division that's all teams that are around 500. That's Seattle, who's leading the division. That's Arizona, L.A., and whatever San Francisco is next year.
Oh, how the turntables have turned.
Indeed,
right?
Indeed.
But the other part of it is, man, handicapping that is a fool's errand in a lot of ways. All those teams are teams where I feel like at any given moment they could ignite, and maybe it happens in a good way for them.
I agree.
And it could end up being a really tough division.
I agree. I just don't think three of them will. The NFC North.
Oh, yeah.
The thing. I don't think three of them will. I don't think the Texans are getting three straight primetime games plunked down right in the middle of the season again like they did. That's hard, especially when two of them are on the road. So I don't think they're getting that. Again, that was fun. For me, that was cool to see because it was a sign that the Texans were back in the relevance room again with the schedule.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do that again as the host of the postgame show. Three straight primetime games and getting up at five for a radio show.
Well, and this is, I think when you look at the AFC in general, there are a couple teams at the top and then a big quagmire of like, I don't know, is this team the real deal?
Yes.
What's going on? I mean, The teams that are 8-5 right now, the Texans, the Ravens, the Chargers, of those three teams.
The Broncos are 8-5.
And the Broncos as well, right. Yeah. Like, how do you really. I mean, the Ravens are the only one there where you really feel like, okay, playoff history notwithstanding, all right, I get it with that team. And I feel like 8-5 is almost probably not the accurate reflection.
Yeah, okay.
The other teams is just a big. It's a big. It's a wild card. And I would add the Steelers at 9-3 into that as well.
I think they're similar to those teams, just with a better record. I'm with you on that. Like I would rather play the Steelers in the opening round of the playoffs at NRG Stadium than the Ravens.
Yeah, that's a good. So those teams that are kind of in the second tier of the AFC right now.
Yeah.
I mean. The Chiefs, if it weren't for their history, like if you just could start the league this year at the beginning, what would people be saying about the Kansas City Chiefs?
They're a phony 11-1 team. That's what they'd
be
saying.
They're not going to be able to keep that up through the entire playoffs. But the Chiefs are at that Astros level where you know that the playoff history matters. The experience in the playoffs matters. You know that they can, just like last year, they can be a different team when you hit the playoffs.
You're saying if the league started right now, so that means we've got no Super Bowls for the Chiefs, no MVPs for Mahomes.
Mahomes
is who he is this year. You know who they are? They're the Minnesota Vikings from 2 years ago. That's who they are.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, where they're coming back from 33-point deficits against the Colts in the second half. They're having Josh Allen fumble the ball on his own goal line to ignite a comeback. They're winning all these close games. And what happens? They lose to Daniel Jones and the Giants in the playoffs that year. They were 13-4, the Vikings, and they were so lucky that season. That's who the Chiefs would be. If we didn't have the history, and again, I get it, in the real world, the history matters. But, Seth, I think your point is, putting the Chiefs in that tier right now, they're getting a bit of a pass for who they've been over the last few years.
Right, and then even with the Ravens, now the Ravens, the last time they won a Super Bowl, they did not have a classic Ravens defense. It was,
2012,
it was a stretch.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco played out of his brain for a stretch through the playoffs that he had never had a stretch like that before. And the Ravens, they feel like a more solidly built version of that 2012 team, where the defense just isn't. I mean, they've allowed the fourth or fifth most points in the AFC right now, but the offense is just such a juggernaut, and it looks like an offense that's built for the playoffs in cold weather and all of that other stuff.
Yep. Of all those teams you just named, including the Steelers, who have a better record than all those teams, the Ravens are still, to me, easily the scariest of all those teams.
Yeah.
Of the Chargers and the Broncos and the Steelers and all those. I think the Bills and the Chiefs are on a different level than everybody else right now. And I know the Texans beat them in Week 5, but they're not. Those two teams are not the same as they were back in Week 5. The last two things why I would take the Texans on the over next season, the bye is going to come at a more logical time for them, I think. It can't come at a more illogical time than week 14. They'll have a more normal bye week. And then they're not going to be doing this. I don't think the Texans are going to be doing this 3 games in 11 days during the holiday season thing. Well, Christmas itself is going to be, Christmas itself is going to be on a Friday next year or something, So
I think the other thing, too, is something that I can't remember if it was Casario or somebody else that had mentioned that it takes time for offenses to kind of congeal and get into the flow when you add a bunch of elements to it.
Yeah.
And that's probably the thing going into this season that I knew consciously, but I probably didn't really recognize it enough, that in football, it just, especially on offense, it's never as simple as, hey, you added a bunch of weapons or these guys and everything's just going to click. Yeah. It just, it doesn't work that way. We've seen it time and time again. It's more the exception than the rule when everything does click immediately. My hope would be that, yeah, that part of it, maybe, and maybe we started to see that versus the Jaguars. There's still time this season for everything to really come together. But that's, on the optimist side of things, I think they won't have the kind of hiccups and growing pains that they've had this year.
Yeah, that's a good point about the offense. 5 Hour Energy fan line. Okay, there's two groups of texts coming in right now. There's a group of people texting about what I should wear to the Steeler game, and there's other people weighing in on what they're going to do for the bye week. Some text message, more interested in Saturday football than Sunday football this weekend. I get that. These conference title games actually matter now. They're for a bye in the college football playoffs. So there's actually some things at stake here. So I like that,
too. They double matter.
They double matter, yes. Someone's telling me that I should wear Oiler gear to the Steelers game. They were rivals back in the day.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah.
Then you're only at risk of getting beat up by old men.
That's what I was just going to say.
So, yeah, I like guys our age and older.
Yeah. So that I might have a shot there. I might go viral beating the crap out of somebody.
It won't be some drunken 22-year-old who's all hopped up on pre-workout supplements.
Just out cardio, you're gonna be good. Yeah. Oh, someone said to wear a Guardian helmet. Like the big kazoo helmet.
You should.
The Guardian cap. someone said wear a Texans jersey. I suppose I could do that. That's a good litmus test for just how hated the Texans are outside of Houston. You know, do I get any Azeez Al-Shaair hate sitting at Acrisure Stadium up in Pittsburgh? I don't know.
Yeah, if you wore an Al-Shaair jersey, I feel like you would get more Steelers support than anything else.
You think their ethos?
They've had their Greg Lloyds. Yeah. They've had their villains before, or their anti-heroes, guys that were, you know, your James Harrisons and whatnot. I think they would respect that.
Yeah. Let's see here. John Runyon guy is still tweeting in. Remember the guy tweeting in yesterday, or texting in, I should say, yesterday about making up all these lies about John Runyon on the text page. Things like he hates ice cream. Not only is John Runyon who gave out the punishment to Azeez Al-Shaair, not only does he not return his shopping cart, he also empties the cart return back into the parking lot. That's a funny visual.
When he returns it where?
He takes all the carts that are already in that little metal thing, and he pulls them out of there and just throws them into the middle of the parking lot. Yeah,
them.
he empties the shopping cart thing.
Shopping cart laziness is that would be a disqualifier for me if I were hiring, and I found out two things would disqualify a candidate if I were an employer. One is if I find out that they drive the speed limit in the left lane.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big red flag.
Oh, yeah.
And two would be if there's somebody who doesn't return the shopping cart to the shopping cart.
Regardless of weather, year-round, it is a rule for you. You always return the shopping cart.
I always do, because there's too many times in bad weather especially, all you're doing is damning some stranger you don't know to having to park a little further away from the store and subjecting himself to the weather itself. Yeah.
I got you. Boy,
the only, I get it when women, you know, if you got children with you, I get that. I still feel like, it depends. But there's probably some other instances I'm not thinking of. But for the by and large, if you're an able-bodied person with no children with you, return the cart.
Text message, we're going to sweep the three-game gauntlet. Watch, LOL. I don't think any of these games are unwinnable or anything. It's just you're stepping up in weight class is all. I mean, this isn't Jacksonville and this isn't, you know, the Cowboys or whatever. These are all good football teams, but they're flawed. The Dolphins are under 500 and I think they're a little soft and you get them at home. The Chiefs play everybody close. So is there any reason to think they just were lucky to beat the Raiders on Black Friday at home last week? Is it crazy to think the Texans are going to come down to a field goal with the Chiefs in Kansas City? I don't. And as you pointed out, Seth, with the Ravens, that's not a good defense. The question is, do the Texans have a good enough offense to take advantage of that?
To exploit that,
yes.
Right. And they just faced a good they faced one of the worst defenses in the league in the Jaguars, and they scored 23 points.
Right.
And right. The big takeaway from that game was that it was in the second half. Yeah. Yeah, but it was versus one of the worst defenses in the league. So, and the worst passing defense in the league. And it wasn't really an aerial attack in that game. So, yeah, they need to still take a step forward, obviously, as we all know.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Chris Long said something on his podcast about the Texans. It was before the Jacksonville win, and it was really about Bobby Slowick. Does this still apply? Does Chris Long's thought on what the Texans need to do during the bye week still apply post-Jags win? We will discuss coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Here was Chris Long on the Greenlight podcast. Really, really good pod. One of my, it's a really good podcast. Chris Long does a great job. He's been talking a lot about the Texans lately. He's got strong opinions on the Texans offensively and where things are going with CJ Stroud. This was his take before the Jags game about how the Texans need to handle the bye week. So Seth, I'm going to play this, and I'm going to put this question to you and to the audience. Should this mindset still apply to the Houston Texans after beating the Jaguars?
There's hope for this team, but when they go in the bye week, they got to lock the doors. They got to lock the doors for 3 days, get a coffee, get a bunch of coffees, and nobody have hurt feelings. And some people might walk out of there and never come back. But they have to have hard conversations, or they are wasting a year of this kid's prime.
All right, yeah. So the kid is obviously C.J. Stroud that he's referring to there.
And all the young children who cheer for the Texans.
yeah.
They'll never get their youth back.
That's
you know?
Right.
If you want them to have a nice childhood, fix the offense, okay?
So that was coming from a place of the Texans having just lost to the Titans the week before. I think there's a lot of Texan fans that at that time, prior to the Jags game, agreed with that sentiment. Was there enough from Sunday's game to where it doesn't need to be as dire as lock the doors and some of you may not be coming back at some point here? We know that's not going to happen, you know?
Okay, this is what I feared, and I knew my weaknesses, and I think probably a lot of our listeners as well. It's that you go into that game knowing, all right, how much can you really prove versus one of the worst defenses in the league? And I guess my fear was that a victory versus the Jaguars might skew my opinion or what have you. And that was, I think, what happened. The Texans win the game. The offense clicked in the second half, so that was good. That was improvement. I thought they did some good things in the run game. But even as the run game improved in the second half, it was kind of on the variety of, all right, that was working versus a really bad defense, the way it's worked versus bad defenses in some ways earlier this season, but it wasn't something that would work versus the Detroit Lions, or the Tennessee Titans for that matter.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm still, I don't know. And yeah, the offensive operation just, it has to get way, way better between now and when you face the Chiefs, you face a really genuinely stud defense
on the road in elements, things like that. My biggest takeaway from the Jags game is, I'm not comfortable that the offense is going to be good enough to get them through this gauntlet coming up. My biggest takeaway is, man, God forbid something happened to Nico Collins or Joe Mixon. You know, like, if you lose Joe Mixon, I don't know what this running game looks like. If you lose Nico Collins, we do know what it looks like. I mean, we saw it for three games without Joe Mixon. It wasn't great, the running game, you know?
Yeah.
And we've seen it without Nico Collins. I shouldn't say, I shudder to think of what it looks like. We've got evidence this year of what it looks like, and especially Nico, man. Like, Nico is, to the Texans right now, what Andre Johnson was during Andre's peak years, where he's the guy everybody knows the ball's coming to him, and somehow he still manages to get open. He still manages to make catches in traffic. That's my bit. The offense is too top heavy.
Right, right. And I don't know how much you can do to fix that, obviously.
Yeah.
Other than You know, we've seen instances of the Texans spread it out, and I think they trust their offensive line a little bit more now, even though Juice Scruggs is still, and Shaq Mason, you know, like those guys at times are just getting individually beat badly.
Yes.
Just in one-on-one situations. You go up against Chris Jones, is that going to change? You know, your ability to just have five-man protection when you've got stud defensive tackles, it's really, really tough with this crew right now.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, man. They're going to, I think as much as anything else, they just need to clear their head. They played a lot of football. Yesterday was National Signing Day. It's not nearly the big deal that it used to be in college football and recruiting, because we know why. A lot of these guys, kids change their mind at the last minute because they get a big NIL offer. Kids commit to a school, but they can transfer after 1 year. So it's not nearly as big a deal. Brian Kelly, though, I thought it was interesting. Brian Kelly, who lost a few big recruits down the stretch, including the number one player in the country, Michigan, and Dave Portnoy swooped in. And Dave Portnoy, the founder of Barstool, who's a Michigan guy, swooped in and came up with millions of dollars to secure. I think Bryce Underwood is the name of the recruit. He's from Michigan. He was committed to LSU. And just about a week or two ago, he changed his mind for reportedly a $10 million NIL deal. So Brian Kelly comes into this press conference you're about to hear an excerpt from, having been stung by the new environment that college football operates in. Here was Brian Kelly in the introductory. This is the very beginning. These are his opening comments at yesterday's National Signing Day press conference.
This is a new landscape that we are in recruiting. And new when I say it's not just about finding the right fit academically. It's not just about finding the right fit where you can develop holistically and graduate and play for a championship. It's about what the most money I can get. And that's unfortunate. But it's the world we live in. And you have to be able to adapt, and you have to be able to realign and be prepared. We have a class that is going to be represented in, somewhere near 24, 25. There is still more that we think that is going to be added to this class in terms of freshmen. But many of those were committed prior to their senior year and state committed to us. 9 out of 10 of them. We did lose a few of them, and it wasn't because we didn't recruit those players and offered them the opportunity to develop here holistically in all the areas that I just mentioned. But we are in a new world.
Yeah, you know, they got paid. They got paid. The description of that is unfortunate, where he said, you know, he talks about the money, and said, and it's unfortunate. Unfortunate for you, you know, you've got to work harder now to get guys, to keep guys, re-recruiting guys. I think it's made for, overall, it's made for a more interesting product.
It's made for a more interesting product. It's kind of like free agency did in pro sports. Football, especially football, you kind of used to be locked into where you were, and you hope you drafted really well for years and years and years, and then you could get good. That's changed in the NFL to where teams can flip their fortunes very quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that it does level the playing field. It's, I guess, at what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost are we leveling the playing field?
What's interesting now is these schools, the ones that are thinking progressively, are hiring general managers. You know, I watched Marcus Freeman's press conference, Notre Dame head coach. I watched his press conference yesterday, the National Signing Day, where he's talking about all the recruits. He talked for about 20 minutes, and then he turned it over to the general manager. And I didn't even know that my school had a general manager. He went as long as Marcus Freeman did about the recruits and the process. Andrew Luck, I don't know if you saw this, Seth. Did you see Andrew Luck just got hired to be the GM of the Stanford football program?
I saw the interview that he did with Dan Patrick.
Yeah.
Dan Patrick asked an interesting question. Something along the lines of, like, were you more of a were you a football player or a person who was good at football?
Yeah.
And it was interesting. That's a sidebar. But because as I'm watching, I'm thinking like, yeah, he looks and sounds, especially now, more like a GM than a football player.
Yes.
And he might be, especially at a place like Stanford, Andrew Luck might be really good in that regard. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would put him at a lot of the other schools. I don't even want to say whether it's unfortunate or fortunate or what have you. It depends on your perspective. If you're a team that's never been able to crack the Blue Bloods or what have you, I feel like you should feel good about that. If you're Alabama or any of the other places where you used to be able to just sign up a bunch of five-star recruits, they walk in the door and they're there for 3 or 4 years, you probably feel pretty crummy about it right now.
How many people do you think care that these are actual students? How many people do you think care? How many people do you think care that these guys go to class?
I think for the most part, I don't know if it's most fans or what have you. Like, we got pretty cynical about the purity of college football a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in a lot of people's minds, whether it's fair or accurate or not, in a lot of people's minds, schools were just buying players to begin with. It's just more transparent now, and you're not going to get in trouble for it. So, yeah, I don't think the fall from grace, per se, has been maybe as extreme as some of the talking heads or people writing about it want to paint it out to be. People were pretty damn cynical about the amateurism of college football already.
I think, you know, here's what people forget to realize is there's like 100 kids on every team. I still think a vast majority of the kids are super psyched to get their education paid for. You know what it is? In addition to playing Power 5 or Power 4 conference football, you know?
Well, in addition to, though, as well, a lot of the guys that weren't necessarily getting the big money paydays from boosters behind the scenes or what have you, they're making $100,000 to $200,000 a year just to be a starting offensive lineman.
It's great.
I'd be pretty excited about that.
It's good,
too,
good a little nest football. Egg to get your life started with, man, if you're not going to the NFL.
It's a whole lot of change all at once.
Yeah.
And the thing that I don't like about it is that the chance for hero building is going to be vastly reduced.
Yeah.
And if you think about college basketball, I mean, that's where they are right now. They're in the era of one and done in NCAA football now.
Yep.
Where you just, hey, great, we got this guy for a year. Hey, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, Longhorn till he dies, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I imagine, like, you go back to, okay, if Kevin Durant back in the day could have played 4 years for the Longhorns, and it would have been it would have been a legend.
That was the 80s, you know? Man. Yeah.
Now it's a little different.
Yep.
It's a little different.
Yep. Aziz Alshire, suspension upheld. Biggest reason, my opinion, the biggest reason why he is still going to be serving a 3-game suspension, Aziz Alshire. That is next.